I would be willing to bet that Elliot would have tried any of those ingredients. I think Elliot probably has tried all of those ingredients. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. We're continuing with the story of Philip. Philip, the deacon, we saw him chosen to help feed the Greek-speaking Jewish widows, and then we saw him as he moved into Samaria after being persecuted in Jerusalem, and now we pick up with him being led out into the wilderness. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you meet us, even in the desert places. We pray that you would meet us wherever we are today, that you would open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts to receive all that you have to teach us. We pray that you would help all of us to know and understand the truth of your good news, your scriptures, as we study them this morning. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So as I mentioned, this is Philip the deacon, not Philip someone else, but Philip the deacon. Just kind of a normal, ordinary guy that had been chosen to do a special ministry. And he had been chosen because of how he demonstrated the faith. But Philip was a Greek-speaking Jew. He wasn't quite welcome amongst those who were Hebrew-speaking Jews. He was considered kind of an outsider. And then he was persecuted because he was a Christian. And so he had fled from Jerusalem. We saw as he entered into Samaria and began preaching there how the gospel was received by the Samaritans, even by Simon the magician, and how Simon wanted not a real conversion, but he wanted simply power. And so we talked a little bit about how the Holy Spirit moves and works last week. And we're picking up in that theme. We're going to be talking a lot about the Holy Spirit this morning. But as Philip is led out of the city in Samaria, he is led out into the wilderness. So he's going from the multitude to the ministry of one. A reminder that God cares just as much about the one as he does the multitude. that God cares about each and every one of us as individuals. And he meets along the way this Ethiopian eunuch who must have had with him this incredible entourage of people, an impressive caravan. This man was in charge of all of the treasure for the Canaanite dynasty and the kingdom of what was then known as Ethiopia, which is similar geographically to what we might think of today, but really it stretched all the way from Egypt down into South Sudan. So this was a very large geographical area. This would have been a lot of money that this guy would have been in charge of overseeing. And something had compelled him to go to Jerusalem and pray. It would be right to assume that he was in the process of conversion, or that he was a proselyte, that he was changing from one faith to another. It would have been a 1,000-mile religious pilgrimage from Jerusalem. And we know that he was a man who had a searching heart. He was looking for answers. And it's into this that Philip enters the story. Philip was a man that we know was full of the Spirit. It was part of the reason why he was chosen to be a deacon. He was chosen because he regularly demonstrated the fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit was moving, active, working in his life. That he was demonstrated a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Being in touch with the Holy Spirit, Philip was naturally open to the Spirit's directing. He allowed himself to be led and directed by the Spirit. Kent Hughes writes this: "We cannot assume that since God directed men in a certain way in the past, that is the way he will do it for anyone who is truly Spirit-led today. We must never confine the Spirit's guidance to the box of past experience." And so in the case of Philip, his being led by the Spirit, very literally led by angels, and then at the end of the story just kind of disappearing, is not something that we should necessarily expect as being normative as we are following after the Holy Spirit. Just because you're not in one place one minute and the next place the next minute doesn't necessarily mean that you're not following after the Spirit. But that is how God worked in this case. So Philip was a man in touch with the Spirit in his life. We see this as he was chosen to be a deacon. We saw this as he ministered in Samaria, how the Holy Spirit led him into Samaria and how the Holy Spirit allowed the people there to receive his message so easily, to be converted. And now we see it in the wilderness. He was led into the wilderness by an angel. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, we learn that angels are ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. They are God's messengers. They bring the word of God to his people. God sends them at appropriate times. We see them really in the story of Jesus. We see them in his birth and after his death and his resurrection. We see angels speaking to people in the Old Testament. Jesus talked about entertaining strangers because we might be entertaining angels unaware. That oftentimes God sends people into our life to move and work and speak his message into our life. God still works through angels. We just might not be as attuned to them as we should be. God guided Philip in this new way, and Philip was in touch enough to respond. Responding to the Holy Spirit's direction is incredibly important. Philip obeyed the subjective inner voice of the Holy Spirit. He remained open to how God would lead him. He was not constricted by the way that the Holy Spirit had led him in the past. He was open to this new way. The Holy Spirit does not always work in the same ways. He might begin to work in a different way in your life. Be open to it. When we're in touch with the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is moving and working in our lives, we become sensitive to His guidance. Sometimes it's through difficulties like Philip faced in being persecuted. Sometimes it's through an inner voice feeling like God is leading us somewhere. Maybe those whispers, maybe I should go over and talk to that person. Maybe even through angels. Philip was so in touch with the Spirit that he was not only flexible as to how the Holy Spirit would lead, but as to where the Holy Spirit would use him. How and where? How many of you would like to have those questions answered on a daily basis? The how and where in terms of the purpose of your life. How and where am I supposed to be serving God today? How and where am I supposed to be parenting my children? How and where am I supposed to be a good spouse in my marriage today? This passage leads us to believe that the more in touch we are with the Holy Spirit, the easier it is to begin to answer some of those questions, to know whether or not we are doing the how and where of what God is asking us to do. Philip was obedient. He was obedient to this calling. And he was ready to serve anywhere, anytime, anyone who God asked him to serve. He was flexible, sensitive to the Spirit, and obedient. And we see this amazing conversion in this Ethiopian man. He had left his home country, his faith. He had come to Jerusalem, most likely to learn more about what it meant to be a Jew or to study the God of the Bible, Yahweh. That he had come and he had made this pilgrimage, and most commentators believe that he had converted because he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. He had in his possession God's word, and it was very difficult to come by a physical copy of God's word at this time. But we see this as Philip is ministering to him, that this further conversion takes place. That he moves from his native religion to the Israelite religion and then into Christianity. And we see from the above perspective, a sovereign God working and moving, leading and guiding, and changing a man's heart in such a way that even after he makes this pilgrimage to Jerusalem, that his heart is still hungry, that he is spiritually hungry to learn more about God. And then really from the human or from the ground level, we see in this story the role of human obedience. That it is through Philip being obedient and allowing himself to be led by the Spirit that we see this man learning about Jesus and experiencing further conversion. And it brings up kind of the natural question, well, would have the Ethiopian eunuch been converted if Philip would have been disobedient? What if Philip would have said no? What if Philip would have said, I don't really want to leave the city. I kind of like it here. I don't want to go out into the wilderness. I don't know where I'm going. I don't want to talk to these people. You know, I mean, there's a lot of mornings where I just don't want to get out of bed. I'd rather just keep on napping. Elliot, you know, prevents me from doing that. But there's a lot of mornings where it's like, we're not necessarily excited to go to work. not necessarily excited for what the day has to bring us, and we just kind of want to say no sometimes. So what if Philip would have said no? Well, the question is kind of mute. Because if God wants something to happen, it's going to happen. If God sets a plan in motion, it's not going to fail. God accomplishes what he sets out to accomplish because he is good, he is perfect, he is all-powerful. And so if he wants something to happen, it's going to happen. And if God wanted this man from Ethiopia to be converted to know and understand how he loved him and that Christ came and died for him, then God's going to ensure that would happen. And so God called Philip knowing that Philip was going to say yes. Because salvation is not in our hands. Salvation is in the hands of God. He's the one that saves us. He invites us into the process. He invites us into the process of reaching out into other people's lives so that we too can experience the joy that comes from seeing a heart changed. But it is God that does the heavy lifting. Our seeking the Spirit's guidance and being obedient to what he wants us to do and say is the way that God works through us to bless the world. Philip had this divine appointment with this Ethiopian on the side of the road. This man reading scripture out loud, and he hears him. And all of this is set up by God. Divine appointments await us too, if we are willing to be obedient to God's leading. That we have the opportunity to have encounters just like this, if we're willing to listen and follow after the Spirit. As I said, the Ethiopian was reading from the book of Isaiah, from the scroll of Isaiah, Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. And he was reading it out loud, because that was the custom of the time. You read scripture out loud. I don't know if you've ever read scripture out loud as part of your personal devotional time. If you have not, I would encourage you to do that. There is power in reading the Word of God out loud. It's something different. It's a way of studying God's Word differently. But Philip is led by God. He walks up, and what happens next is, it seems just so natural for Philip. So natural for him to walk up to this man and to begin talking to him. And it says, as the questions are answered, it says, Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And we don't know how long that they traveled for. We don't know how long of a conversation that this was. But we know that at the end, that this Ethiopian is marvelously converted. That he experiences just this wonderful and perfect understanding. And the principle here is clear, that all of us are called to be in touch with the Spirit and the gospel. That as we trust in the Holy Spirit to lead us into those divine appointments, not only do we have to be flexible and sensitive and obedient to the Spirit, but we also have to know the Scriptures well enough that we can articulate it to the people that the Spirit leads us to. And this does not mean that you have to be a Bible scholar. This does not mean that you have to have the pages of Scripture memorized. But it probably should mean that you have a basic understanding of what the Bible has to say. You know, we have these wonderful pieces of technology that we take pretty much everywhere we go. It's, you know, our cell phones, and you can download a Bible app on there. You can, Google how to lead somebody to Christ. And it'll provide you with step-by-step scriptures on how to do that. And as you're reading through that, you know, hopefully if you've been going, reading your Bible, some of that will, oh yeah, I remember that verse, and you can use that and you can expand upon that. And so it's not that you have to be these experts, but you have to be prepared to give an answer, which means that it's probably a good idea for you to be studying Scripture on a regular basis. In seminary, I think one of the most impactful things that I ever was assigned to do was to read the Old Testament in a semester. We were tasked with reading the Old Testament, which is a lot to read in a semester. And he said, I don't want you to read it and know it. I just want you to read it so you get an overall sense of the storyline of the Old Testament. He said, if you want to, you know, if something pops out of you, highlight it and come back to it later, but just read through it. And there's all kinds of ways to, you know, just to read and study Scripture. There's all kinds of Bible reading plans. I read earlier this week that it takes only 15 minutes a day to read through your Bible in a year. 15 minutes. So half of the time that you spend on Instagram, or whatever app that you're using on your phone. Instead of playing solitaire when you're going to the bathroom, read the Bible. I don't know, but you know, there's all of these times where we're picking up our phones to kill time, and we spend 15, 20, 30 minutes, and it's nothing. And to transition into using those time fillers into maybe reading it's right there on your phone. You can pick it up right there have more than one Bible. You know, have one in your car or beside your bed or in the bathroom. I don't know. I mean, but find opportunities to read Scripture and to get to know it. Because the Spirit, as we follow after Him, is going to call us to repeat it and to share it with people. This Ethiopian man, so convinced, so changed, says, right now, I want to be baptized. There's some water. We're doing it. And Philip takes him and he baptizes him, and he's gone. Just gone. I mean, Scripture doesn't really explain what happened. If he was just poof, miraculously somewhere else, it's possible. I mean, God can do all these things. Or if maybe the Ethiopian man was just so excited, in celebrating, he didn't notice Philip walk away. We don't know. But we do know is that God continued to use Philip, and He continued to use this Ethiopian eunuch. That maybe he was sent back to his home country and he began to share the same message that he had just heard. Because one of the greatest things that the Holy Spirit does is that He multiplies. Multiplication is part of the Christian experience. That as we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit's guiding and leading, we see our numbers grow. God invites us to be part of the process. Be in touch with the Spirit. Allow Him to guide and lead you. Be flexible. Be sensitive and be obedient. We're invited into the process, but we're not necessary. And on one hand, it makes, well, I guess I'm not really that important. Well, we're not. We're not that important, but it also gives us this, for me at least, this sense of relief that it's not up to me. I can't fail. When God calls me to speak to people about Him, I can't fail because it's Him who carries the weight of changing people's hearts. And so you're on the winning team. God will prevail. God's plans will be accomplished. If God wants something to be done, it will be done. It's a guaranteed win. And we need to know the truth of the gospel. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we open our Bibles, that you would help us to retain what they have to say, that as we read them, that you would encourage us to read them more and more, that Scripture would become part of our daily lives. And we pray that as we study and we read it, that our knowledge of who you are and what you have done would grow, that we would be more and more open to your Spirit's leading, that you would lead us into those divine appointments, and that we would see your faithfulness as in those moments things would pop back up into our memory, into our mind, the words and Scripture that you have led us to. You are a faithful God, and you are good, and you love us. And we are so thankful for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.